Good morning, church family. Man, it is good to be with you. I am thankful that we are here together. Would you take the word and turn with me to 1 John? We are in 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 14 again, and we're going to cover 13 and 14 specifically this week. You remember last week that we were talking about John's letter, that it has two purposes, as you're finding 1 John chapter 2. I just want to review. First, he said that he had a desire that true Christians would have assurance of salvation. Do you remember that? That this is a book to help Christians know that they know that they know that they know that they are children of God. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to be assured of? Listen, you might be glad that you have insurance for your home for flooding these days, amen? But I'm going to tell you, wouldn't you want to be sure that you have insurance that when this life is done, that you go to be with the Savior? That's what 1 John is written for, to remind us. And secondly, it's written to those who would have an assurance of salvation, but don't really know Jesus. So he wanted to put a thorn into their thoughts, and he wanted them to come to a place to realize, listen, I'm basing my salvation on the wrong thing. So remember, this is John's, hello, can you hear me now? You remember that? This is John's, hello, can you hear me now? And notice again that there are two sets of those little words. Little children, young men, and fathers, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Look at those two phrases as we read all of verses 12, 13, and 14. In this instance, you remember, little children refers to new children in Christ, those who are new believers. Young men to those who are young Christians but are growing. And fathers to those who are spiritually mature. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. John says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Have you overcome the wicked one? Pray with me, friends. God, we are so thankful for your word. Thank you for this little interlude that John felt was necessary and that you put on his heart to write to us to give us assurance of our salvation and what that is based on. Lord, thank you for your word. Would you bless us with its truth? And then, Father, as we hold to your truth, we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to be obedient to your word. Can you pray that with me and say, God, help me to be obedient to your word? And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Last week, as we looked at these verses, John taught us three things about assurance there in verse 12 and verse 13. That Christians are forgiven by God. They're forgiven by who? By God. God himself forgives us. That is our greatest assurance of salvation. Secondly, Christians are forgiven in Christ Jesus' name's sake. Amen? There is no other way to salvation. God accepts no other payment for sin except for Jesus Christ's payment. Amen? Amen. Third, if we're a child of God, and this is another good one, we can know all of God's benefits. Hello, there are no second-class Christians, amen? Listen, we are all rich in the Father. We have the blessing of all God's blessings. And in that, we learned that God only saves sinners. Good men who don't need forgiveness cannot be saved. They must realize that they have come to a place where they have sinned before God, and they need God's cleansing, and they need God's forgiveness, and they need God's payment, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? So, to be saved, one must stop justifying their sin, diminishing their sin, confess and receive God's forgiveness through Christ. So we begin today with John's remarks about what he calls young men. Now, who are the young men? He's talking about all in the church. He's talking about all those who are growing Christians. Maybe young in the faith, but they're growing. They're not just sitting around. They're not babes just drinking the milk of the word. They're trying to get into the meat of God's word. And we understand he's talking to these growing but still young believers. So look at verse 13 and 14 again with me. Verse 13 and 14 where John says, I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Do you hear what John is saying here? Do you hear what John is saying, what God is trying to make sure we understand? He is saying this, that Christians, even young Christians, are you listening? Even young Christians have overcome the wicked one. Now that's a bold statement, is it not? Very bold. Let me ask you again. Have you overcome the wicked one? Do any of you feel like you have victory over the evil one 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year? Boy, it got quiet. You know why? We all struggle. Let me ask you. Okay, are you ready for this one? I want you to check the person next to you and see if they're breathing. Are they breathing? Then they're struggling with sin. True? Now that doesn't say that we are letting sin dominate us, and we shouldn't be. But understand this. John's point is this. Are you ready? That believers, that children of God, that Christians have experienced a deliverance. And this is the very first point there under number one. And that is, they have experienced a very definitive break from the bondage of Satan. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Paul said it differently in Ephesians chapter 2. He told the church at Ephesus, he said this, he said, you were dead in your sin, but now you're alive to Christ. Do you see that difference? You were dead, now you're alive. Not you're alive and now you're dead, or now that you're dead, but you're kind of alive. He said, no, he says you are alive in Christ. And he told the church at Rome, Romans chapter 6, he says, at one time you were in the bondage of sin, but now because you're in Christ, you're no longer under the dominion of sin. Amen? John says here, yes, as a believer, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. But just like that commercial on TV, but wait, there's more. Listen, when you get to God's word, there's always more. But wait, there's more. God's word says, not only has Jesus Christ broken the penalty of your sin, but Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin in your life. Friends, you have been set free by Jesus Christ. And you're thinking, wow, I've been set free from the power of sin in my life. And you're going, but wait a minute, Pastor. What about those times when I just can't seem to get it right? What about those times when I have those besetting sins? Remember what Hebrews talked about? He said, those besetting sins in my life. You know, there are people that say, you know, I sought to follow God for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I've been following Christ, and yet I still fight those sins that so easily beset me. Anybody there? Come on, are we going to be honest? Maybe it's easier to me to say, anybody not there? Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now? Well, listen to this. Did you know that fighting those besetting sins is a reminder that we have been liberated from the bondage of sin itself. You're fighting those sin is a sign that you've been liberated. Because you see, there was a time when you were in bondage to all sin. There was a time when you wouldn't have fought those sins at all. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm fighting those sins. There was a time when you were blind, spiritually blind, and you could not even see your need before God. You thought, well, I'm just fine. All I have to do is be a good person. Everything's going to weigh out in the end. Right? Isn't that what most people in this world think? Just do enough good, it'll balance out. Boy, wouldn't you hate to be the one who's going, let's see if I've got enough right at the end of life. Man, do I want... Until you met the Savior, Jesus Christ, and he lifted you out of your bondage, out of your sorrow, and out of the darkness of sin, you were still beset by sin in every manner. But Christ Jesus, in his love, reached down and lifted us out. And all God's people said, thank you, Jesus. You know what John is saying? John's saying Christians have been delivered from the power of sin because they have overcome the evil one. Who's the evil one? Satan. Satan, his dominions, those who are fighting to bring you down, those who are fighting to, for you to move into death rather than to into life. Once those people who have been now saved, they once were weak. They once were helpless before sin. That was us. That was you. That was me. But by God's grace, he's saying, they're now strong and they're fighting against sin. Right? But how? You say, how do we have victory over sin? How is it that we start fighting the sin? Because the word of God abides in them. Look at the scripture again. He said, you overcome the evil one because you abide in the word of God. Here is your prescription for the evil one. Hello? Anybody been to the doctor in the last year? Do you have a cough? You have the COVID? You have the croup? You got the crud? Whatever it was. And he said, here's a prescription. And they either sent it to the... Remember back in the old days when you actually got a piece of paper? They would give you a prescription. And if you just rolled that prescription up and put it in your pocket and you never took it to the pharmacist and you never went and got the medicine and you never began to take it, you didn't get any better. But folks, if you actually take the pill... it begins to work. And I'm going to tell you, they got a pill for all kinds of stuff in this world today. They got a pill for headaches. They got a pill for your throat. They got a pill for your lungs. They got a pill for everything. But let me tell you, the only pill that you can take for sin is the gospel. Amen? And here it is. The question is, will you take the prescription? John says that Christians have been delivered from the power of sin because they have overcome the evil one. How, once again? Because they abide in the word of God. It's your prescription. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. Amen? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You want to hear what God has to say to you? And people say, oh, I wish God would talk to me. Duh. Friends, these people that were overcoming the evil one because they abided in the word of God, they had ingested the word of God. They ate it daily. and it dwelt in them richly. And so the Holy Spirit began to build them up and made them strong in the Word of God. John looks at these Christians and he sees them battling their sin every day. He can see how the sin has been broken in their lives and how they were growing. Even if they can't. Even if they were struggling to see it, because Satan loves to try to blind us and to discourage us and to get us down. And John's saying, look, I can see it. I look at you and I can see it. And I'm thankful for those that battle against sin. And remember this, even though we battle our old sin nature, the children of God are forgiven in Jesus Christ. The truth of our Lord Jesus Christ has set us free. Do you remember John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32? Do you remember that scripture? Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. The truth will set you free. That's a freedom from our sin, a freedom from its dominion, a freedom from it locking us in and keeping us from getting to the Lord, because God's forgiven us. But our freedom, dear friend, it doesn't mean that we now coast on to heaven. I got to tell you, I'm a Trekkie. I love the old Star Trek movies. One of my favorite lines, beam me up, Scotty. Wouldn't that be cool? Take me to work. Take me to the store. Bring me some milk. You know, it's fantasy. And yes, there's coming a day, dear friend, that's not fantasy, when the Lord Jesus Christ will call you up to meet him in the air, the scripture says. And so then shall we ever be with the Lord, God's word tells us. But until that time, we're to be here. And we've got a purpose. Otherwise, when you got saved, it would have just been, beam me up, Lord. Right? But God leaves you here. Why? I think to learn and to grow to appreciate what Christ has done. But also, dear friends, that we might be salt and light to those that are still here. Amen? We're supposed to be reaching out to them. Yes, we grow close to the Lord. Yes, we begin to appreciate what he's done. But dear friends, we're to be sharing Christ Jesus with other people. Our liberation from sin, dear friends, is a lifelong fight. It is a lifelong fight with our old sin nature. It's always there. The Christian life is not just enjoying fellowship, and yet it is. Amen? Christian life is enjoying fellowship with one another. The Christian life is enjoying fellowship with God, and yet it's not just that. Folks, it's fighting the enemy. It's fighting the world. It's fighting the flesh. It's fighting the devil. And I'm going to tell you, oftentimes those struggles where we're fighting, and it is a fight. If you haven't realized that, I'm going to tell you, you've got an awakening coming. It is a battle. It's a battle against sin. It's a battle against the old nature. And when those things hit us, often those struggles with sin lead us to begin to question our salvation. And John is writing here to make sure you understand that if you are saved, you don't have to worry about your salvation. You just have to worry to keep the battle going. And don't quit. Don't give up to fight the enemy. The thing is, it's a very fact that if one hates their sin, it's a sign of spiritual life. Now, if you're just wallowing in your sin, that's a sign of spiritual death.
If you're going, oh, just bring on all the fun. Just bring on all the sin. It doesn't bother me. That's a sign you're not saved. Let me share it with you this way. And I've counseled a lot of people over the years, and there have been times that people have told me that they were struggling with a particular sin or set of sins. And they'll tell me that it's having a lot of great success in this season of their life. And you know what I tell them? I don't just tell them, look, you're sin and you've sinned, but you're forgiven. I tell them, yes, listen, you need to surrender that sin to Christ. You need to kill it. The Bible says that if your right hand offends you, tickle the palm. He said, if your eye offends you, just wash it out. What did he say? He said that if your hand offends you and it keeps offending, he said it's better to cut it off. What? He said that if your eye offends you, it's better to pluck it out. God takes sin that seriously. But the thing is, there are people that struggle with that. They're called humans. And there are times that they forget that they're saved and they get to worrying and they let the perplexity of sin and its terrible dominion over them begin to instill itself in their hearts, and they begin to wonder, am I truly saved? But listen, when I visit with these people and I know that they've given their heart to the Lord, and I look into their life and I begin to see the different graces from God in their life, and I begin to see the evidences of their true salvation, and yet they're struggling. Listen, I love it when the light comes on in their eyes and in their heart, when I tell them and remind them that the very fact that they hate their sin and that they're frustrated by it and that they're fighting against it is not a sign of their spiritual death, but it's a sign of their spiritual life. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? The very fact that you hate your sin and are battling against it tells me that you are saved. It's a strong evidence of your salvation. How do I know this? Dead people don't fight. Only live people fight. If you're dead in your sin, you'll just roll over in it. But if you're alive in your sin, it's going to bother you, and you won't continue to wallow in it. Dead people don't fight sin. Live people fight sin. And that life comes from Jesus Christ, dear friends. He is your life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so John says, Christians that have overcome the evil one are involved in all-out war against sin. They're involved in all-out war against Satan and Satan's rule in their heart and in their life. So now John has spoken to young believers. He says, you're strong. You've overcome the evil one. How? How did they overcome the evil one? By having what? God's word. By abiding. What does abide mean? You live there. They lived in God's word. And now John's spoken to the young believers, and he points first to their forgiveness that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he points to the knowledge of the Father that flows from that forgiveness. They understand the different things by abiding in the Word. And he told these young and growing believers that God has not only broken the penalty of their sin, but he's what? He's broken the power of the sin in their life. And so we can live to God. And we can die to sin. And then in verse 13 and 14, he describes those who are mature. He describes those fathers. Now look at it again in verse 13 and 14. He says it twice. He repeats the exact same phrase. Once in 13, once in 14, he says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. That's verse 13. Then in 14, he says it again. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. This is that double phrase there. To those who are mature, what is he saying? He's saying Christians know him, Christ Jesus, who is from the beginning. Now, what in the world does that mean? We know that Jesus is and has been and has always been. But dear friends, this is a mark of the grace of God in you. This is a mark of God's grace. If someone is truly a Christian, they know Jesus Christ. They know the eternal Word. They know God incarnate. The Holy One, as Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 says, the Holy One who was and is to come. You ever bought a product that was new and improved? I mean, did you ever buy one that's not? You never see a product that says it's the same old stuff. It's always new. Or maybe they even say it's a new box, but the same great product, maybe. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is as from the beginning. Jesus is and has been and forever shall be. That's why God's word records it there in Revelation 4, verse 8. The Holy One who was literally before there ever was anything and who is today and shall be. And the scripture says that if you're a Christian and you're a mature Christian, you are going to know him who is from the beginning. Let me ask you, is there ever any better way to characterize a mature Christian's faith than to look at someone and maybe say to someone else, they've been with Jesus. Man, they remind me of Jesus. You know, I just wish that I could portray Christ Jesus like they do. You know somebody like that? Isn't that wonderful to know somebody like that? There is no better way than to say, man, they know Christ. They know Jesus. You can just tell they've been with him. Isn't it amazing what can happen in the life of a person who abides in Christ? Do you realize that John many times mentions the eternal existence of Jesus Christ with God? You go back and read John chapter 1, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Who is the Word? Jesus. Who dwelt among men as God? Jesus. He is and has always been. Now, you remember that we were saying that there were a lot of false teachers in John's day, and they were coming around and they were trying to influence the family of Christ, and they were trying to deceive them. And John wrote this book very much against them and to fight them and to tell the church members, hey, look out if they're saying something different than this. They're saying you don't have salvation if you don't have this. He goes, here's what salvation is, here's what salvation is not. So John mentions it here again. You know him who has been from the beginning. These false teachers were teaching things about Jesus Christ that were not true, things that contradicted God's word. And John says here twice, he says, if you are a mature Christian, if you're one of the fathers, you know him who is from the beginning. He's saying, I know a mature Christian because they don't believe these lies of the false teachers. They know Jesus. They know Jesus is him who is from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, before there was anything else. A mature Christian knows the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus, the Messiah of God, the Christ of the Gospels, the one who is and was from the very beginning. Now I'm going to tell you, there are folks who call themselves Christians today and have been throughout history, and they say things like this. They call themselves a Christian and they say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I like to think of Jesus in this way. Something different from the Bible. Oh, I really believe that Jesus was this way. I really believe that Jesus wouldn't mind if we sin in this manner. I really don't think that Jesus would mind if I don't believe the Bible here or there. Let me just tell you, they are just liars. They're just lost. They're without Christ. If that is the Jesus that they know, they don't know God's Jesus. They don't know the Jesus of the Word. If they say their Jesus is like anything other than the Bible's account, they don't know Jesus. They don't love Jesus. Do you remember an old singer by the name of Tom T. Hall? Anybody remember that guy? Tom T. Hall had the nerve to stand up and do an interview and say, well, you know, because they had heard something about him going to church, I guess. And they said, well, you know, do you believe in God? And he began to talk about his belief in God. And he said, well, you know, I believe in God, but, you know, my God lets me drink. And my God lets me carouse. And my God lets me do this. And my God lets me do that. Talking about all the sin, and he doesn't seem to mind that I do this and do that. Listen, I believe him because he had the same God I did before I got saved. Himself, the devil. Listen, when you are the God of yourself, you don't mind if you do anything you want. But when you know Jesus, you have to come to the word of Jesus, and you know what Jesus' word says. And we know the God of the Bible. John is plainly stating this right here. He's plainly stating that a mature Christian knows the Bible and believes in the Jesus of the Bible, God's holy word. You see, in the course of assuring us as Christians, John points to a reality and to an assurance that is outside of ourselves. We don't trust ourselves for assurance, for salvation. John points to God's gracious, loving forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Amen? That is our assurance of salvation. And John also points to some other things. He points us to the results that come from that forgiveness. He says, your forgiveness is from Jesus. It comes only from Jesus. It comes through the grace of God. And then he says, if you've got this salvation of Jesus, here are some things that are going to result in your life. And he says, a new life where you war against sin is going to show up. He says, a new and growing knowledge of Jesus Christ by abiding in his word is going to show up. You're going to have these evidences. He said, a desire to be like him is going to show up. A desire to be with him. And if you go back and you read in 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, he talks about how Christians, believers, what? Long to be with Christ. Long to be obedient to his word. Long to be in his word. Does that make sense? Then why don't we just stop and pray and give it to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, would you grant us by your Holy Spirit that we would not be fooled by the deceiver, but that we would be assured with a true assurance of our salvation. Amen. A blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. God, that is our prayer in the name of Christ Jesus. Friends, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you, have you overcome sin? Have you overcome the evil one? Are you working to be more like Jesus every day? Are you battling against that besetting sin or sins? Friend, if you're not battling it, there's something wrong. So I pray right now, would you confess before the Father those things that are besetting you, and would you ask God to give you the strength to overcome? You have already overcome. You have his salvation. You have his power to overcome it. Will you, in Christ, continue to battle? Don't give it up, friend. Would you make that prayer right now to say, God, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. Amen? I am not going to stop serving. I am not going to stop my life for you. I am not going to give it over to Satan. I'm not going to give it over to this world. I'm not going to give it up. Father, I am going to live for you. Amen? Amen. Make that your prayer.